Well, once again, I want to say thank you to Fairhaven Baptist Church, and you folks have prayed for us, communicated with us, and supported us in our mission endeavor to plant an independent Baptist church in Metro Manila, Philippines, and we're so thankful for that. I don't know if I should thank you or cuss at you or something for... Levi and Juliana visiting us. I'm kidding. Levi and Juliana came over, and they were a big blessing to our people. We never had a youth activity until they came, and I could trust our young people to them. And so big thanks to Levi. I know he's over at Pastor Samples, and Pastor Samples Grace Baptist supports us as well as missionaries. And I know Olson girls over there, too. Is it Joy? No. Sarah. That's right. Sarah. There is no Joy Olson girl, so. So anyway, but Sarah's over there, and Levi's there, and they're expecting a baby, too. Amen. So, and Juliana, of course, and just the influence that Fairhaven Baptist Church has all over. We were at Pastor Dr. Gardner's church, and the Trocks were there, and we had a wonderful time. And Angela, and who's the other one? Angela and Nicole. Is it Nicole and Angela? Is that right? Who does the skirts? Nicole. She does the skirts. Okay. So if you're interested in skirts, you know, check out Nicole's creation. You know. I'm not checking it out, but you can check it out, and just appreciate that. I mean, it's like we're over there, but you know, there's Fairhaven there, and there's just, you know, I'll be at Pastor Zdarsky's next Sunday, and, you know, everybody knows Pastor Z, so just appreciate that, you know, and y'all praying for us all the time. Just thank you. And, I mean, if I begin to just thank all those who had us over for a meal and everything, and, you know, I haven't checked my blood sugar and my blood pressure. I'm not going to do that because that ain't right. This don't count. And so that, you know, deal with it, you know. And but all the dogs are safe and sound, you know. Bailey and Lucy and Remy are doing okay. We didn't eat them. And, man, you could feed the town with Rocky. And we also met Smokey, Raymond's dog Smokey, and one more. There's Junior Armacos, right? Junior Armacos, Junior the dog. And man, y'all know how to take care of dogs, and it's like a Filipino's dream. You know? So anyway, but just tender animals and. Juicy. And when you finish eating it, you say, doggone. For real. Anyway. All right, it's time to get serious, right? So anyway, thank you. And just looking everywhere, just faithful people who love God. You know you're supposed to be in church. You're here. You want to be here. And those who are not feeling the greatest, but they're still coming. And those who really can't, but they're live streaming. By the way, we thank you for live streaming, especially the preaching conference. We get to see a lot of things going on. We get to enjoy the music. That's the best in the world as far as we're concerned. And the work that you put into it, I guess somebody said it like this, nothing worth having is as easy as it looks. And you folks just love the Lord, and it's evident in your love for God. And you found Jesus, and then you bring people to Jesus. That's what it's about, isn't it? And just keep on going. Just keep on doing what you're doing. As the world change, let's not change. And as the world just spirals down, because that's all it's just going to keep on going down, let's spiral up in holiness to the Lord, and Let God do the work through us, surrendered, yielded vessels unto Him. And, God will do the work, and He'll have the victory in the end, and we'll get to stand by Him in the throne and rejoice and cast our crowns at His feet, and it's all to His honor and glory. Did you know your pastor is going to get a crown of glory one day? Biblically speaking, your pastors will get a crown of glory. And our responsibility as members is to help them get that crown of glory. See, I like promotions, biblical promotions, you know. And it's biblical. All right, so anyway. All right, but thank you so much for your love, your prayers, and your support. And just can't thank you enough for that. Marcia, is there anything else I need to cover? Because I know, you know, she'll harass me later. You're like, you didn't say this, you didn't say that. Am I good? Are we good? No, we're not good, right? No. Whatever. There. Matthew chapter 28. Book of Matthew chapter number 28. Pray for Marcia. She's got like, you know, the cold or something. And just trying to shake it off. And it's been hanging on for a while. So just pray for her. We know it's not Omicron. We know that for sure. Because there's this like, Ollie's bargain outlets or something selling the COVID test for $9.99. So we got like six of them, you know, because, you know, when you travel, you don't want to like spread the love, you know. So we tested her and she's like negative. Amen. Well, there you go. So she's free to just, you know, cough on. And flu. I don't know. Anyway, I won't get into COVID, but I will talk a little bit about, I don't know if I should talk about the, because I'm going to make fun of it, and that ain't right, you know. The lockdown and all that kind of stuff. So let's just say it's like 680 some odd days of lockdown today, and there's four levels of lockdown. Level one's the lightest level. Level four is the heaviest. We're in level three. We're actually now on level two. Are we going to be in level two? On February, my prepositions aren't right. If you guys are grammarians, forget it. I'm half American, so I don't care about grammar. In February, Marsh, or on February? 14th. What, level two? So they're shifting to a lighter level on the 14th. Now, I'm thankful to God. The people in our church that are faithful, okay, the people in our church are meeting and assembling and having church, regardless of the government mandate not to have religious services. And we're thankful that they see the conviction in Scripture about going to church. And if you can go to work, you can go to church. And isn't it sad that we have to compare that and make that comparison? Really, church should be more than just clocking in and going to work. Man, this is a joy to be in the house of God and to get the Word of God that we need. I'm thankful for that. Our people on their own, and they were like texting me back, messaging me back, Brother Bill, can we hand out literature? And I was like, of course you can. And they're like, do we need permission from the village captain? I'm like, no, just do it, you know. And you don't need permission to serve the Lord, just do it. And well, you know, what about this? What about that? So just telling them what to do from afar. And but they did it on their own, and this was okay. What is it? 10 o'clock, and we're done. 11 o'clock in the morning, they gathered for church, and 1 o'clock p.m. for the afternoon service, and then they had they had prayer, tract distribution, and then they took a smaller team, and had a Bible study at a lady's house who's terminal. And she's got terminal, some kind of leukemia-type sickness, frail, and we've been wanting to do a Bible study in her house for the longest time. And Brother Ray and his wife and a sister, they all came over to her house after church and had a Bible study there. So I'm praying that maybe the Lord would use that either to clarify whether she is saved or not saved, or, you know, hopefully she'll get saved. And if she is saved, that she'll have the peace of God in her heart to know that when you know Jesus as your Savior, this is the worst that can ever happen to you here, is dying terminal disease. Because the next thing you know is heaven, you know. But if you're not saved, this is it. This is the only heaven you'll know. That's why people are going crazy and they're fearful and they're going bonkers over this virus, because this is their heaven. And then after this, I mean, it's the judgment. There's, you know, I can understand why the world's going crazy. So I'm thankful for the conviction that they have to carry on and do the things that are pleasing to the Lord. And you kind of feel sorry. I feel bad for them because I'm over here and I wish I was over there, you know, because that's where the action's at. But I guess it's like, you know, when your kid rides a bike and you have to let go and they take off and then they act like they didn't even know you anymore, you know. It's like, that's kind of like what church planting is. So they're doing their thing and they're just carrying on. Like, okay, we'll see you some other time, right? That's how missionaries greet each other. That's how we'll say goodbye to you. We'll see you in 5 years. Right. Anyway, so if any member of Fairhaven Baptist Church is in good standing, you come over to the Philippines, okay? And we'll take care of you. And we'll make sure that you are busy and you'll have full preaching, teaching, and all that kind of stuff. And we'll work you. And we'd love to have you come visit us now. Don't come right now, you know, because one thing, we're not there. That's up to you. I mean, you can go anytime you want, I'm sure. But there's quarantine and that kind of stuff, so now's not the time. But when the time comes, and that'd be fantastic, have Pastor Dameron over for some halo halo. He hates that stuff, you know. And what it is crushed ice, condensed milk, and they put all these like beans in it and everything. I know, it's like, it is evil. But yeah. Some people like it, you know. It's like sweet and stuff like that, and savory at the same time. You have to have sophistication. Sophisticated palate for Manila, you know. They eat dog over there. It's so sophisticated. Anyway, all right. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 16. And we're going to read from verse 16 to verse number 20. I want to talk to you about some 6 points to consider about the Great Commission. I'll talk about the Great Commission and the great commitment to the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20. The Bible says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's pray and ask God to bless them. Father in heaven, we come to you, Lord, tonight. We just thankful, God, for Fairhaven Baptist Church, Lord. It's a group of people that love you and want to see you do something special in our midst, Lord, as we try to win people to the Lord and try to love each other, exhort one another, Lord, and do this even more as we see the day approaching, Father. We just ask that you would strengthen this work spiritually, Lord. Edify us. And I pray, Father, that many other missions endeavor would come forth from this lighthouse, Lord, and through the college ministry, Lord, and through bus ministry, TNT, and all, Lord, all sorts of ministries, God, pull people towards Jesus. And I pray, Father, that this work would be fruitful and abound, Lord, for you are worthy. We love you. Ask your blessing upon this message in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, there are 6 points I want to share with you. It won't take long. I'll just mention it, and we'll be done before you know it. Number one, the place of missions. The place of missions. Notice in verse number 16, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. This was a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Let me just say the place of missions is always the local New Testament biblical church. God is all about the New Testament biblical church. In this dispensation, you can't get away from it. If you're born again and saved, God wants you to be a part of a biblical New Testament church. This is God's place of missions. What do you do in church? Well, for one thing, you're instructed. You're given instruction in church from an ordained man of God. He preaches the Word of God week in, week out, in season, out of season, watching over your souls, reprove, rebuke, exhort, and just burden from God. God deals with the pastor, gives him the message so that he looks at the congregation and says, this is what our people need. He's on his knees asking God for a burden, asking God for a message. And then the people, of course, you're to come. You're to be faithful so you can get the instruction and the biblical challenge that you need. And when you make a decision, it's based upon the Word of God, not emotions. Not emotions, but true conviction from the Word of God. When the Holy Spirit of God deals with your heart, it'll most likely take place in a local, biblical, New Testament church. Where do we raise missionaries? Yes, they come from homes. They've come from Christian mom and dad who pray, send my child. And don't you dare pray for somebody to send their children and you're not willing to send your child. Amen? And so, yes, missionaries are birthed from homes, but those homes need to belong in a church in order to glorify God, in order for us to receive that instruction and train those future missionaries for the Lord. The place of missions is the place where Jesus appointed them. And so all through the Scriptures, from the Old Testament, there's no church in the Old Testament, FYI, but all through the Scriptures, there's always a place that God ordained to meet with people. And in the Old Testament, so Adam was ordained to meet with the Lord in the garden. The place was the garden. Noah was the ark. Abraham was Mount Moriah. And Moses was the tabernacle. And then Solomon was the temple. David, Solomon, and Solomon's temple. Every time the Holy Spirit of God would come down and authenticate those things. The tabernacle, the glory of God came down, authenticated that. The temple, God's glory came down, authenticated that. And in the New Testament, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of God came down and authenticated the local New Testament church in Jerusalem, an assembly of baptized disciples. That's what a church is. That's what a church is. And so let me ask you a question. How involved are you in church? What's your relationship to the church? What's your relationship to the church? You know, some people would ask, what's your tie? What's your tie to the church? Our relationship to the church ought to be more than just a tie. What's your denomination? You know, it ought to be more than just a denomination. How you treat this church, if you're a member of this church, how you treat this church is how you treat the body of Christ. And so, let me encourage you. If you're looking for the perfect church, you won't find it. We're all sinners and we're all messed up some way, somehow. And the minute you join the perfect church, you ruin it, right? So, there'll never be a perfect church here. But if you're looking for a church that loves the Lord and want to see people saved and brought to Jesus, you want a church that cares enough to serve you with excellent music, man, Fairhaven, this here right here, what a treasure. What a treasure in Chesterton. This is the place. If you haven't been baptized and added to the church, if you're born again, that's the next step. That's something you should really, I know you should pray about it and all that, but really, God wants you to be a member of His local New Testament biblical church. And then find your place in that church and serve Jesus with honor and distinction. Serve Him on purpose. Serve Him on purpose. Number two, the person of missions. Verse 17, the person of missions. And when they saw him, Jesus, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, isn't that how church is? Some come to worship the Lord, and some come with their doubts. And what do you do with that? Well, don't let your doubts stop you from coming to Jesus. Man, if we can do this, if we can just, Mr. Wright, if we could just turn our eyes away from ourselves onto Jesus. Especially young people. Now, young people, listen. You already look good. I mean, some of y'all, especially like, you know, some of you young people, y'all look good. Y'all look fancy. You got your tie. You look sharp and everything. But sometimes, especially young people, we get full of self. Loaded with self. And now they call it selfies, you know. They have the new word in the dictionary, not so new now, but new when it came out, was selfie. You know how everybody had selfie this, selfie that, selfie, selfie. Focus too much on self. What if we turn our eyes away from self and onto Jesus Christ? The person of missions is Jesus. They worshiped him. Did you come to worship him? That's what we're supposed to be doing. But some doubted, the Bible says. Well, Jesus didn't kick them out because they doubted. I know the Lord, he visited Thomas, the doubter. Thomas, man, he wasn't there for that Sunday night. Jesus showed up. He missed that church service. But Jesus met with him when he came to that assembly the following Sunday. Personally. Jesus walked up to Thomas personally. And said, put your finger here. Put your finger here. Ooh. And you know what Thomas said? My Lord. My God. Number three, the power of missions. Verse 18, the power of missions. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In the New Testament, there are several meanings to the word power. One means like dunamis, you know, where we get the word dynamite from, you know. And I've never handled dynamite, but you're supposed to be really careful with it because it could really like do some explosive things, you know. And that kind of stuff. Dunamis, the power of God. Listen, if you ever seen God answer prayer in a way that only he can do it, then you know there's power with God. And all power resides in God. And that's dunamis. That's like dynamite power. That's the kind of power we should be praying for. Lord, I yield myself to you, Lord. Give me your power so that as I minister your word to people, it would be effective. It would blow them up or something like that. Something like that. It would do something. But we don't yield that power. No man yields this power. This is God's power. But when God shows himself powerful on our behalf because of Jesus, man, it's like when people come to the Lord, and I've seen in the Philippines, people come to the Lord, they get saved, and their lives change. Like for real. Their lives really change. That's the power of God. Because only God can do that. Now, I can't yield that power. And it's amazing how powerful God really is, but he will not demonstrate that power if your heart is not right with him. Because it doesn't matter how almighty and sovereign and powerful God is, he will not control your heart. You have to yield your heart to him. God controls everything except your heart. Think of that. Now, the word here is not dunamis. The word here is exousia Greek. Exousia. And when you say it like that, exousia, you'll remember it. You'll remember it. So you got to say it. Exousia. All right, don't just say exousia, you know, because that's like anticlimactic and it's not right. This, when Jesus said, all authority is given unto me, all power, all exousia is given unto me, what he's saying is, but didn't he have all power before he died, before he came to the earth? Wasn't he the eternally begotten Son of God? Of course he was. But he had to die on the cross, and he had to rise again on the third day. He had to rise again on the third day. And as God-man, God the Father, super exalted Jesus Christ, given a name which is above every name, and gave him all authority, all exousia, all power. And Jesus is basically saying, I'm authorizing this assembly of baptized disciples to carry out the ministry. We operate under the authority of Jesus Christ. I don't go to the village captain and ask her if it's okay for us to hand out literature. We're just going to hand out literature. Why? Because people need to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. I don't have to have the authorization of some local government unit to assemble to have church. We're just going to, now, we did it undercover. You have to do it undercover. You got to be wise as, what is it? Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Is that right? Did I quote it right? Good. All right. Good. So you got to do that kind of stuff once in a while. But, you know, at least you don't break the presumption of regularity from the local government unit. And you're not breaking your constitutional right neither. So just go undercover once in a while, you know. And I appreciate, did you guys like preach like on the parking lot with the cars and everything? Yeah, we did that too at Mount Zion Baptist in Brogue. They did that too. And all because you just know you're supposed to be together and assemble. Man, honk your horn, amen. We can't do that in the Philippines. A lot of people don't have cars, you know. So, I don't know. They come in with their bicycles. And, you know. So, we'll be out there. And, but we operate under the authority of Christ, the power of missions. Remember this. The power resides in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave us the authorization to go baptize, teach, and do all this. Number four, the program of missions. The program, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. This is the main program of missions. In this pericope of Scripture, there are four verbs, three are participles, and one is an imperative. Wow. I can't believe that. Well, anyway, there's one command here, and three kind of tell you how to operate that command. The one command of missions is teach all nations. That's the command. We're commanded to make disciples of every ethnic group. No matter the race, no matter the culture, we're to enter into those people group, tell them about the Lord, make them disciples, make them followers of Christ. That's the Great Commission. The Great Commission is given to the entire church. It's not given to just the pastor. It's not given to just the missionary. It's not just given to one person. It's given to the entire church. Verse 19 says, go ye. Ye is second person plural, which is excellent for the King James Bible because that's what the Greek has. And it says ye, ye. Ye means you all y'all, if you want to be like real Southern. All y'all. In Pennsylvania, if you want to be Pennsylvania Dutch, it's yous. Yous, plural. And in Tagalog, lahat. Every one of you. So as a church, as you're functioning, in your job. You know, I know you work your job, you'll clock in. As you're functioning in your job, God's going to bring someone in front of you, and you have the responsibility to make them into a follower of Christ. So if they need to get saved, you need to know how to lead them to the Lord. Wouldn't that be a good New Year's resolution? If you're a Christian and you don't know how to lead someone to the Lord, man, learn it. Because God's going to bring people in front of you, and you're responsible to make them followers of Christ. Sometimes God is going to bring a wounded Christian your way. Maybe a Christian who's wayward. And you're responsible to make them into a follower of Christ. How can I further them in their walk with the Lord? That ought to be something you should consider. It's not just the pastor's job. Go ye, corporate, all of us. Teach all nations, baptizing them, the participles. Whatever. The participles are going, baptizing, and then teaching. Those are the three. I'll say, our job is to make disciples. How? By going. That's why I love the bus ministry. You got to go. You can't run a bus route on live stream. That don't work. You just got to go. And make disciples. I love TNT. Boy, the work that is poured into that ministry for young people. So they're pouring scripture at them. Scripture. Getting them away from things so they can get into the Word of God. That's discipleship. Are you? Same thing. Are you guys doing? Are you? Mr. Leslie, I was asking him, how's are you going? He's like, going well, you know? Amen. What's are you? All it is discipleship, bringing people to the Word of God. That's why you got ladies' class. And all these classes, your institute, I saw you have church as your topic for Thursday. That's fantastic. Because a lot of people don't know what church is, period, you know. They got crazy ideas of what is a church. Anyway, so all that is just basically trying to get you into the Word of God. Sunday school hour, Word of God. Every time you turn around, it's the Word of God. Why? This is the only thing that God gave us. This is the greatest treasure on earth right here, the Word of God. And this is God's program. We're to evangelize, we're to baptize, and we're to catechize. There you go. Helps you memorize that. Number 5, the promise of missions. I love this, verse 20, the promise of missions. And lo, I am with you always. I am with you always. Basically, as you're out in the bus ministry, as you're serving the Lord, Jesus is saying, I am with you. Teacher teaching in the class, burden for the students, Jesus is saying, I am with you. College student doing their best, trying to not get demerits and just trying to serve the Lord, Jesus is saying, I am with you. I'm with you. Church, young people, children. I love Fairhaven. It's a multi-generational church. We need each other. The young people need the middle age for their stability and example. The middle age need the seniors, the elders, for your wisdom. And the elderly and the middle age need the young people for your energy, for your strength. But that's how God designed it. We need each other. And Jesus is saying to the children, I am with you. If you're involved in his local church, he'll always be with you. You go knocking on doors. I know you present the gospel. Just remember, there's somebody greater than you that's working through you and in you to reach them. And that's the Holy Spirit of God. What's he saying? I am with you. Always a promise. It's a promise. I know Mr. Hades in the hospital. Is he still there in the hospital? Jesus is with him. Jesus is with him. I was 5 days in the hospital because of COVID. I had COVID pneumonia, bacterial pneumonia on top of that. And I lost 15 pounds, but I found it real quick. And I'm telling you, the body was the weakest, and I was miserable, and it was just plumb miserable. I hate getting sick because it's just sickening. It's just sickening. But I tell you what, I listened to the preaching of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit of God just dealt with me, and I understood what it meant to be like weak in the flesh but strong in the Spirit. I am with you, he says. It's a promise. He'll always be with us through COVID, through the next, variant. He'll be with us. We have his promise. Last, the perpetuity of missions. The perpetuity of missions, and that's a big word. It only means the continuation of missions or the prospect of missions. Look at what he says in verse 20, the last part of it. Even unto the end of the world. Amen. Even unto the end of the world. So, God's interested in planting local, independent, biblical Baptist churches. That's what he's interested in doing. When he calls a missionary to the field, he's called, yes, to evangelize, to baptize, to catechize, but he's also called to help organize an independent biblical church. And that's it. And how long is this program supposed to last? Until Jesus comes back. Amen. So Fairhaven, how long does God want you to be faithful as Fairhaven Baptist Church? When do we graduate from this? And when do we quit? And when do we just say, okay, I've read the Bible through. I've read Dr. Vogelin's American edition, KJV, and I'm done with it. Does that ever happen? Is that ever going to happen? When does God want us to shut down? When? Never. Clear until when? Till Jesus comes back. Till Jesus comes back. Now, I've looked at the scriptures here, and I think there's some 30 some odd New Testament churches in the Bible, and none of them are around today. Think of that. I don't think God planted a church so that it will fizzle out someday and not be faithful to the end. That's of the devil, I think. I think when God plants a church, he intends for that church to be faithful until he returns. Now the scriptures warn us, now little children, abide in him that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I mean, imagine that. Some Christians are going to be ashamed before him at his coming. 1 John 3:3, let it, and every man hath this hope in him, purifieth himself even as he is pure. I believe Jesus is coming back. That's why I need to continue doing what I know I'm supposed to do, serve the Lord. Don't let up. Don't let up. And what great examples you have here. Great examples of faithfulness. People that have been through the fire and they just keep on going. Appreciate you. 2 John 1:8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. I want a full reward when I get to heaven. And well, let's not lose those things which we work so hard for. Let's just keep on going. Do you believe that you'll be ashamed before him at his coming? By the way you live now, are you going to be ashamed before him at his coming? Well, he hasn't come yet. So there's time. There's hope. And the way to change that future is by changing now. Now. If you're not committed to the Great Commission, now's the time to be committed to it. If you're not saved, you come to Jesus now before it's too late. Before it's too late. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Let's pray and ask God to bless then.